Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
With a rapidly growing youth population and regulatory loopholes to exploit, Big Tobacco is said to be aggressively pushing new nicotine products. What am I talking about? E-cigarettes to heated tobacco and even snuff, marketing them as safer alternatives. But just how safe are they, and what does all of this mean for public health in South Africa and beyond? Professor Lekan Ayo-Yusuf is head of the School of Health Systems and Public Health at the University of Pretoria. He spent much time researching the industry's evolving tactics and their impact on public health, and joins me on the program now. Professor, a very warm welcome, and your research indicates and highlights just how the tobacco industry is aggressively expanding in Africa. What are your biggest concerns around their marketing tactics?
Thank you, Jeremy. The major concern I have is the fact that they are not necessarily in full disclosure of exactly the nature and the intent of the marketing approach, particularly to the harm reduction. Harm reduction is a concept that was taken from the illicit drug use, wherein you actually provide a supervised alternative that reduces the social and medical harm to those who are not able to quit immediately, but they're able to get a substitute. So that's basically a high risk, what we call a high risk supervised. We do not market methadone to the whole population because we want to deal with illicit drug users. So this is what we're dealing with the current use of harm reduction as a population-wide approach. So all we are asking is that this needs to be regulated, and particularly young people who don't even smoke or use any nicotine needs to be protected by the regulation that's been proposed. In that way, if any group of smokers may benefit, they may still be able to have it without having it being banned. Importantly, is that it is not, there's no evidence in South African context that have shown that using this alternatives actually kept smokers away for longer than 6 months. Our studies show that they often, or most of them, relapsed that used e-cigarette compared to those who didn't use e-cigarette to attempt to quit.
And Professor, just looking at what is happening, one senses a very sophisticated pivot as far as the industry is concerned, and all of this is being done strategically and very tactically.
Indeed, it's clear that the industry is not growing in the African continent as much as it would have wanted to when it comes to cigarette smoking. So they needed to come up with alternatives, and that's the harm reduction. And we always say this is a reduction in harm to their profit rather than reduction in harm, reduction in public health gains. So indeed, we need to be vigilant. I need to also explain the whole idea about safer is essentially based on having lower exposure to some of the toxins. And when we say lower exposure, does not necessarily translate to safe. For example, you can have 10, let's give an example of a quantity of 10 milligram that's enough to cause cancer. So even if you have 100, it would not matter, you will still get the cancer. So if you bring it down to 20, you will still get the cancer, even though it's reduced exposure. So this is one of the challenges that we have to explain to the public and explain to policymakers that the industry is actually abusing some of these concepts.
Professor, you talk about all of this needing to be better regulated, but I would ask you whether you think government has an appetite to do this, given that products like this are a source of excise revenue.
That's another myth about tobacco and nicotine as a source of revenue. It does, because the excise is paid by the user. It is taxed as production. The manufacturer pays upfront and carries the cost onto the smoker or the user. So all that money comes from the user. When the user stops using, that money still remains available in the economy to buy a phone or shoes or pay school fees. So it remains in the economy. So the government, for example, is collecting 12 billion in excise, but spends 42 billion rand in treating tobacco cost illnesses and the foregone earnings from those who die prematurely. The total of that in South Africa is estimated to be about 1% of the GDP. That's a lot of money, 42 billion every year, against the collection of 14 billion. So it is really a myth that government is actually gaining anything from continuing to allow the health harm that is caused by these products.
Professor, you also point out that South Africa has one of the highest rates of snuff use in the world. I wondered to myself why this product is still so popular and how it compares to traditional smoking in terms of risk to health.
So just to correct that, it's not the highest in the world, but you know, India has the highest rate of snuff use, but in African context, South Africa has one of the highest, next to Lesotho. So what it's pretty much a cultural use, but the tobacco industry has obviously again come onto this and lapped onto it. A couple of years ago, they introduced some of this modernized, as they were called in Sweden, the snus. So the snus was then marketed as a safe alternative, just the way we have e-cigarettes. So we've seen this happen before, back in 2005. The issue here is that they've got these carcinogens or cancer-causing substances that are not good for oral cancer, where you place them. The new ones have lower carcinogens, but again, the WHO has recommended an amount of carcinogen, not because it's safer, but because they found that it's possible for manufacturers to lower these carcinogens. Why do they put so much more? And we found South African snus, equivalent of the one that they supply in Sweden, had even more carcinogens or cancer-causing agents than the one they supply in Sweden. So the industry definitely needs to be regulated in our environment because they see it as a space to do whatever they can.
Professor, you also mentioned that vape shops are now strategically placed in many instances near universities. What does this tell us, in your opinion, about the industry's true motives?
It is clear we had expected, if it was the intention was to actually reduce harm and had benefit to public health, these vape shops will be located in spaces where smoking is quite prevalent, in the locations or in some particular places in Cape Town. We know that a lot of people smoke. But what we found is when we measured the distance within vape locations and those who responded, we had interviewed about 18,000 South Africans across the 9 provinces and did a geolocation of vape shops and where they were. The respondents were leaving, and we found the closer they stayed to a vape shop, the more likely they were going to be vapers. And those vape shops were also very strategically close to higher education institutions where you find young people. So it was clear to us that the intent was not to get to smokers who would benefit the most, but to get to customers where they will profit the most.
I'm going to leave it there. A very disturbing picture that you paint, but one I think that we need to absorb and take notice of. Professor Lekan Ayo-Yusuf is the head of the School of Health Systems and Public Health at the University of Pretoria. Thank you very much indeed.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.